Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It is Gil Alexander. It is my little buddy, Kelly Bidlin, alongside here at Circa Resort Casino Hotel. I say little buddy because you look great, man.
Well, thanks.
You look wonderful.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
The hair looks great. The weight looks great.
This guy. Stop it, you.
This guy. on the show today, Drew Densick from, of course, Whale Capper on Twitter, but of course, the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast at NBC Sports will join us to talk NBA Cup. Do you have Emirates NBA Cup fever?
As of 2 days ago, yes.
As of 2 days ago,
I started sinking my teeth into it. I got bets. Let's go.
There are group bets. There are bets for the whole thing. Remember, Kelly, the Lakers are the reigning cup champs.
That's right.
And I believe they have a banner to show for it.
I believe they do as well. I'm excited for it, man. It was great last year. The helps break up the regular season a little bit. Like, I don't think anybody's going to get overly excited. If it's like last year, nobody's going to get overly excited about it these first couple weeks. But as you get close to the end of the groups and then out here to Vegas and everything, it was really cool last year.
The Vegas part was cool when it got to the semis and the finals. We'll go through the whole format. It all counts in the standings except for the final game, but it's a group stage that begins tonight. It's Tuesdays and Fridays from now through the final in December. We'll get to the format when we talk to Drew. We also have Jake Benziquin on the show today. Jake is not only the co-founder of ProfitX, but he's also responsible for one of the remaining 105 entries in Circa Survivor, each with an intrinsic value of over $135,000 now. Jake was already tweeting about it this morning when we tweeted that he was on the schedule. He goes, tune in to find out how I'm going to mess this up. we're looking forward to talking to Jake a little later on the show. Will Hill with all his bets. Peter Futak. Could this be true? Pete Futak on college football. I want to ask him all about, with 3 weeks left in the regular season, how he sees the mayhem. What's the mayhem scenario? Who does he think the best team in the country is right now, if pressed about it? And who does he think the pretenders are? Get some of his thoughts on this weekend's games as well. Let us begin real quick with a couple things, because we got some baseball awards finalists to get to. First, though, Monday Night Football yesterday, the Dolphins at the Rams. And Rams, not good. Dolphins win 23-15. In a game that they were the 2.5-point dogs in, ultimately, at close in this one. And the Rams just, in a division in the NFC where you're probably only going to get a division winner, much like the NFC South, but also the case in the NFC West. And it's the most bunched up of all divisions in the NFL, where the top and bottom teams are separated by just one game in the loss column. But they're on the bad end of that now with this loss to the Dolphins. Dolphins with a victory stay within contact, a game and a half of the final remaining wild card position in the AFC. The Broncos are 5-5. The Dolphins move up to 3-7. But the Rams now a game behind in the loss column of both the Cardinals and the Niners. Cardinals have the half game lead in the division. And this game really was two great defensive performances, or bad offense, whichever you prefer to look at it. I'll prefer to do half glass full with the defenses. But with the Rams, you know, they've had a terrible performance inside the red zone this year, but you can't even say this about the game last night because they barely got into the red zone. They literally ran two plays inside the red zone until the fourth quarter last night, because every time they got close, Kelly, chicanery happened. 10-0 game in the second quarter. The Rams were set up at the Miami 43 after Christian Roseboom picked Tua. Then the next play, Kyren was stripped by Deshaun Hand, recovered by Kendall Fuller. So they couldn't get into the red zone there. Still same score, because then Tua got sacked by Jared Verse. He fumbled. It was recovered by Verse. The Rams were set up at the Miami 36. Surely they're getting into the red zone this time. Well, these were the only two plays they ended up running in the red zone. They had to settle for a Cardi 34-yard field goal to cut it to 10-3. It was 10-6 at the half. The total yards in the first half, 111-106 in favor of the Dolphins. Four turnovers, two by each team. So it was just like, here, take the newspaper.
Yeah, for real.
Take the newspaper. There's no one looking. The Rams continued in the third quarter. They got it to first and 10 at the Miami 28. Surely there's going to be a red zone appearance here. Nope. 13-yard loss on a snap over Stafford's head. Eventually a false start. Cardi then had to kick a 57-yarder after the 52-yarder was nullified by the false start. He missed that. And then later, at 17-6, the Rams got it to second and 5 at the Miami 21, just outside the red zone. Kyron, 2-yard loss. Stafford sacked for 12. And they had to settle for another Cardi field goal. So it's just a field goal fest late. And the Dolphins just stayed. They would go from 8-point lead to 11-point lead, back to an 8-point lead, back to an 11-point lead. And finally, in the end, the only other note I want to say about this is it's 23-12 after Sanders kicks a 50-yard field goal. 23-12 Dolphins. So the Rams need two scores late. They get the ball back with 2:38 left. They have a big play. They get it to the Miami 24 with 1:30 left in the game. So you got 90 seconds left in the game. You're at the Rams 24. You need two scores, obviously one of the scores being including a two-point conversion, to tie this up and force overtime. You'd have to recover an onside kick. You get the drill. But you have to make a decision at this point. Okay, do we kick the field goal, a la those of us who played Madden all those years? Do we kick the field goal first, so that we can leave enough time on the clock in the event that we record recover the onside kick? Or do we try to get it in the end zone? Okay, you can decide either way. What the Rams did is they decided, we're going to try to get it in the end zone. Yeah. We're not going to kick there. And then on third down, they end up kicking a Cardi 31-yard field goal on third and 10 at the 12 with 42 seconds left. Those two things don't reconcile. So you either kick the field goal with 90 seconds left, mm-hmm. or you go for it on every down available to you to try to get it in the end zone. You don't do it halfway once you eschew the kick, the field goal. You don't then decide arbitrarily on third down, oh, we'll just kick the field goal here. So that was it ends up being a little thing because the Rams are probably going to lose it anyway because you know how onside kicks go. Even though you do declare, you rarely recover the kick.
I thought the same thing, though. Yeah. You just put it perfectly. I think there's a lot of going back and forth I've seen after the game on, like, the, you know, what was the play at the 4, right? Whether they were going to go for it or kick the field goal. Like some of those are a little bit more coin flippy to me. I don't care as much, but that sequence, completely agree with
you. Yeah.
Like I said, it's under the radar there. Nobody's going to remember it.
Nobody's going to remember it. It's a bad loss for the Rams, but there really isn't much else to say about this football game because it was kind of, it was what it was, the kids said.
And, I just thought some of those at the end were just kind of odd for McVay, I thought. Calls, especially when you're, like you said, the offense hadn't been able to get going all night long as far as getting points, and you're kind of trusting that they are settling for some of these field goals. I don't know. I thought at that point, just keep going. You got to get in the end zone at some point.
Give it to the Dolphins, though. They looked like the more fired up team. They looked like the more desperate team. They were, and they played like it, quite frankly. The only other note, Tua, the Roseboom pick where he put his head into the tackle? Was that the play?
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was scary.
Tua, what are you doing, man? Have we learned anything?
What are you doing, man?
Dude, stop it. Stop it with that.
I will say, good on the Dolphins, because I was really hoping the Bengals would win on Thursday just so this AFC playoff picture would be kind of exciting down the stretch. Bengals and Dolphins still alive, at least.
Still alive. The Dolphins at 3-6, because they've only played 9 games. 1.5 games behind the Broncos for the final playoff spot in the AFC. About the Major League Baseball awards. Listen, we still have 6 days to wait before the awards that you are interested in actually get announced. So not only do we have to wait till November 18th for these to begin, but they also are going to do it against Monday Night Football. Another genius stroke by Major League Baseball. I do not know why. We joke about this all the time. We're not the only ones, justifiably so. Why does Major League Baseball wait all this time? The only explanation I can come up with is they look at the NFL and they say, oh, the NFL season never ends. There's free agency. There's the draft. Oh, my God, the whole calendar. Everybody cares about, you know, the NFL. Well, if this is Major League Baseball's answer to that, like, oh, if we extend the award season, it'll be long. It's just the stupidest thing in the world. So we still have 6 days to wait. But they did announce the finalists yesterday, which is, I guess, their way of saying, oh, my God, we're going to make the suspense kill you people. Yeah, that's not really the case either. American League MVP, no surprises here. The three finalists are Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Bobby Witt. One guess who's winning that? They're going to announce. And it's going to be like a 2-hour show, right? And they're going to be like, and now Matilda Judge is going to give out the award. That's not her name. I don't know. NL MVP, Shohei Lindor and Ketel Marte from the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I know our buddy Michael Montesano had some big Ketel Marte.
He was a hot selection back in like May, June, if I remember.
For a minute and a half. And with apologies to you Lindor people, Chris Felica, I'm talking to you. It's going to be Shohei on this, one would imagine, for National League MVP. The Cy Youngs were, I guess more interesting than that. But also, you know, in the American League, we know who's winning that. It's Tarek Skubal. The other two finalists end up being Seth Lugo, who I had a 13-1 ticket on. And according to, Tango's tracker, Tom Tango, who's gotten this right almost every time through the last stretch of seasons, the American League order ought to be Skubal, Lugo, Burns. Instead, what they did is it's Skubal, Lugo, and Emmanuel Clase, a reliever for the Cleveland Guardians. This feels more performative than anything to me. Like, hey, a reliever might be able to win it finally after so many years. I think it's 21 years since Gagne won it. Don't hold me to the exact number. In either league where a reliever won this. So Clase gets the third finalist position. Again, for what it's worth nothing but just that. And then the NL Cy Young, Sale, Wheeler, and Skeens, which is exactly the order that Tango had them in, by the way. Sale with a slight edge on Wheeler and Tango's numbers. So this will either, this one would imagine it's either Sale or Wheeler. But when you see Skeens finally in print for Cy, you think to yourself, all right, NL Rookie of the Year. It's Skeens, Jackson Merrill, and Jackson Churio. They're not going to cut him out of both, are they? I don't know.
Oh, man. I don't think so.
I don't know.
I kind of think the same way. I think he's kind of there in the MVP just to make headlines, too, though.
Well, he's third according to the tracker also, so he kind of deserves it. Cy Young, he kind of deserves it. By the way, American League Rookie of the Year, no surprises in terms of the finalists there. The two Yankees, Luis Gil and Austin Wells, and the Baltimore Oriole, Colton Cowser. Anybody can win that one. That's probably the one that's the most up in the air. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick next right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many sports in action, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, power, strength, and better ratings, plus our exclusive betting splits. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99. And see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander with a very ornery Kelly Bidlin. Would you like to tell the folks what you're so angry about
just,
off air?
Just schedule making in sports, man. Like, why do we have to be angry about this at least once a week? Drives me insane. So my proposal, Gil, is
this come up from the MLB awards discussion?
Yeah, MLB awards, even just like a stupid thing with the NBA last night. Like every game was starting at 5 o'clock, like right in the middle of basically in the middle of Monday Night Football. That was bizarre. So put a presidential candidate on the ticket who's going to hire a full-time sports schedule maker. Let's get college football out of Congress every year because Congress has got to step in and solve all our college football problems. Just get me a sports schedule maker czar, okay? Need that, and then get rid of daylight savings time. If that's on your resume, I'm probably voting for you.
Wow. Now, all right, you have Kelly Bidlin's vote.
Daylight saving time is horrible. Our commute is either in pitch black half the year or it's like the sun is barely rising and killing our eyes on the way in.
Okay. Drew Dinsick joins us, ladies and gentlemen. I imagine he has something to say about this. He is the host of Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor. And of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Kelly, what did you call Kelly off air, Drew?
No, I'm just curious. I actually just need Kelly's take here. Which of the 4 p.m. games was your most favorite on Sunday? Was it Cowboys Eagles? Was it Jets Cardinals, or was it Chargers? Who did the Chargers even play? Titans?
Yeah.
That was one of the most horrible throwaway for 3 hours of our football lives that I can remember. But
this is the point. How often do we bring it up? The late window where they stick 3 games. Like, this is, come on, let's even it out, balance it out. Someone should have oversight.
You know, the
at least put a good game in there.
The bad part of daylight savings used to be longer, but like 20 years ago, they changed it. So it's now shorter, the part where you have to like wake up in the dark. So it's actually better than it used to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still get rid of it.
Also, it sounds like Kelly wants permanent daylight savings.
He does. Yeah. He wants to get rid of it. Yeah. Did they do that in Oklahoma? Did I see this?
Arizona, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Arizona and Hawaii. But yeah. I thought Oklahoma passed something. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe.
You might be right. They sound like a smart state.
About the NBA Cup, because we brought this up and Kelly just brought up the fact that the games ended yesterday. So the NBA Cup, again, this was last year. The Lakers won this. The semis and the finals, as Kelly mentioned, was very cool in Vegas. I actually went. We both went to that last year. It was super cool. The Lakers probably went overboard again. They have a banner in their rafters about it. It's probably not a smart thing. But yet they won it. And this year it is much the same. You have two stages. You have group play and then the knockout rounds before you get to the semis and the final. Again, only the final does not count in the standings. Everything else is a regular season game for all of these teams. And this will be Tuesdays and Fridays, beginning tonight, up to the semifinals on December 14th and the championship game on December 17th, which is a Tuesday. Every game on these Tuesdays and Fridays will be part of this Emirates NBA Cup. And you have six groups of five teams, still separated by conference. And there's all the rules right there on the screen in case I missed anything right here. And so, Drew, I'm curious, does your daily handicapping on these Tuesdays and Fridays change in any way? But you actually do have an explanation for why the games were played when they were yesterday vis-a-vis this NBA Cup.
Yeah, and the rules that are up on the screen right now, hope you had time to read all of them. They have made it somewhat convoluted. Like it is definitely not. It's one of the things where you're like, oh yeah, I look at the courts; they're different. Something's going on. Oh yeah, it's the NBA Cup. Remind me in a month who's playing in Vegas, because that's kind of how it goes if you're just a casual fan. But if you're a handicapper, you do need to pay attention to this for a couple reasons. Number one, the NBA is treating these games differently in terms of the way that they have staggered schedules. They have put teams on almost dead equal rest. So these are all completely neutral fatigue games.
And that's why those were played when they were played last night. That's part of that.
Yeah, they didn't want teams playing late into the night and then having early tips and things like that. So, I mean, they have given everybody exactly equal footing in terms of rest, travel, everything. Like, they've gone out of their way to make sure these games are quote unquote neutral. Meanwhile, like tomorrow, there are just some absolutely hilariously lopsided ones where teams have had 3 days rest versus back to back. So, you know, like they clearly are like, yeah, no, they don't. All the regular season games don't count the same. These matter more. So it's a relatively flat footing. And then from a handicapping perspective, the important thing to remember is margin of victory matters here. If you're, you know, and so if you're a team, if you're, you know, if you think you've identified a team that, let's say they're the Lakers or the Celtics and they're trying to hang banner number 19 because they're all equal.
They might
be going for margin here. And you will see some teams that really do try to put the an especially significant margin of victory up. And it got to, I think, the last of the round robin last year where you had situations where it was like, well, the Celtics can qualify, but they got to beat the Nets by 30 points. And they beat them by 31.
Right.
You know? So it was like that sort of stuff does manifest later in the cycle. But, there's not as much pulling of punches here if you are like sincerely in control of a game and it's just a matter of running out the garbage time. So keep an eye on that. And that could influence the rotation, the minutes and things like that. I'm expecting a little bit of, more like playoff rotation type of concepts from a couple of coaches, surely.
So we are. So I think you just hit on something there. So are we assuming, and you know what they say about assuming, Drew, are we assuming that that every team cares about this deeply? Because remember on the run up to it last year, because it was the first, we were just kind of, pontificating here and speculating about this. And we were like, I remember the consensus opinion was, oh, the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? They're a young team. This should mean something to them in a way that it won't to a veteran club. Remember, that was sort of the conventional wisdom.
Turned out that was the Pacers angle.
And that was the Pacers angle. And they got to the finals, right?
Finals, yeah. Finals, lost right? The Lakers in the finals.
Yeah. Halliburton was on a roll at that point. Yeah. So I guess what I'm asking is, 1 year into this, has both through just the experience of going through it the first year, and also by edict, right, from above, and Adam Silver's office being like, hey, guys, you should care about this. Are we just assuming that everybody does care deeply about this and all of definitely these handicapping principles? Definitely not. Definitely okay. Not.
No, no. Okay. There are a couple of teams that I'm sure do for reasons that are tough to explain. But, you know, the teams that I would say like I guess I would be surprised if the Nuggets go like playoff rotation minutes, because the Nuggets have been really, really firing a lot of bullets. Like, they have been putting Jokic into tough spots, playing, you know, tons of high leverage minutes really early in the season. And this is the kind of thing that where you they may take a little bit of foot off the gas. I wouldn't be surprised. Similar kind of thought process around the Suns. The Suns have built themselves a nice little lead in the Pacific, or I guess not a lead, but they've given themselves margin of instead of having to play themselves out of the play-in potentially, at least to start the season. And with Kevin Durant injured, it's tough for me to see that they're gonna like put you know, Beal and Booker in harm's way as far as minutes go. Like there are some teams that are dealing with injuries and rotation questions and fatigue that I would expect to pull their punches a bit. And it may not even come from, you know, we may not even know until there's one game done, right? Like, it could just be a matter of tonight, for instance, you know, a team like the Mavericks, who has nothing to prove and is not playing for the cup and is, you know, is trying to, you know, to be ready for a playoff push again. Like, if they lose to the Golden State Warriors by double digits tonight, which they could because the Golden State Warriors are amazing, then, you know, they may be just a, you know, no show in the other cup games as they try to, you know, conserve a bit. So I do remember those small examples happening last year, but I don't remember being very good at guessing who was going to care besides the Lakers, because there was a specific, there was like a little bit of a buzz that the NBA thought that if they could get buy-in from LeBron, then that could trickle into buy-in from to all the other superstars. And so there was some unspoken incentive in it for LeBron to really try hard in the NBA Cup last year. And it was obvious.
Did you bet any groups or did you bet the whole thing?
No, I have no action whatsoever in the cup. And I think most of the fun angles, again, are going to come in the final round of the round robin as you're trying to figure out which teams are actually motivated to do something that's different than what a neutral number would imply.
And you stayed away from all individual games tonight?
Tonight, I was on market except for half a point here and there everywhere, so I have no action.
Okay, all right. Still worthwhile to go through the explanation, try to give people some NBA Cup fever. Kelly has some plays a little later on. Emirates NBA Cup fever, Drew. We'll get Drew's thoughts on Week 10 and what he has played in Week 11 in the NFL. That's on the other side, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I cannot say enough about the new VSiN Watch app. It is sleek. It is sexy. It is streamlined. Works really well. Our all-new VSiN Watch app makes it easy to watch or listen to VSiN anywhere, anytime, on your phone or tablet. And for a limited time only, you can watch it for free. Visit the Apple app or Google Play Store now to download the VSiN Watch app and get 24/7 access to our live audio and video stream. Watch replays of your favorite VSiN shows. Easily stream video to your smart TV, browse clips by sport, or use the search feature to find the specific VSiN expert insights you're interested in. The VSiN Watch app, free to download for both Apple and Android users, so do not delay. Visit the Apple or Google App Store now to download the all-new VSiN Watch app now and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us for a second segment. I know it was a bunch of tweets. We'll get to those momentarily. Drew can be found once again at @whale_capper on Twitter. And of course, the deep dive with Andy Molitor, Dinsick Classic, and of course, NBC Sports' Bet the Edge podcast. New Dinsick, as I think the community calls it. Drew, have you recovered from the election? Let me just get that out of the way.
Oh, no, not even remotely. It was an unmitigated disaster financially.
Yeah,
thankfully,
sorry,
Bitcoin ripped. That kind of healed. That made it easier to square.
By the way, I made that same comment to someone earlier this morning. Exactly right.
Every time I get down, I just flip open the Trading View app, and I'm like, wow. Look at that thing go.
Because the Bitcoin stuff is like 10x what you'd lose in an election. It's just incredible.
Was that another big jump yesterday?
It
almost cracked 90.
Yesterday was insane. We have to run back that Todd Wishnev appearance the last time he was on talking about that. This was back in February. And it was just, he made a great case for it. And here we go. But we were worried about you. That's why I bring
no,
it up.
No, I mean, look, man. Sometimes you wake up and you realize you've never been less in touch with the normal American, and spent a lot of that in the last week. I kind of have to just respect the fact that America is not where I thought it was centered, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I didn't want to put salt on any wounds. I just figured we should mention it, because otherwise we just leave it hanging like that. To the NFL.
Yes.
Where before we get to your picks, well, let's start with your picks. What did you end up this week? Week 11 in the NFL.
Right now, all I've got is Chargers -1. I'm nowhere near to that number. That one was one where I was like, I thought maybe I made a bust somehow in some way. I didn't.
What is your number, by the way?
No. 4. I have a meaningful difference between the Bengals and the Chargers, and right now at 1 and 1.5, that's implying the Bengals are better than the Chargers on a neutral, and I don't see that at all. So
I guessed 2.5. Wow, 4 you had. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not even in the right time zone there. I don't know. I'm high on the Chargers, I guess, and this is new territory for me because I haven't been betting them much this year. Yeah, I don't really see it with the Bengals.
You don't. That's because interesting, because most folks would say, well, this is a step up in competition for the Chargers. They've had a pretty easy go of it, that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. And the Bengals, they get extra rest, I know. But, that the Bengals defense is there's absolutely nothing there. And the offensive line for the Chargers is keeping Justin Herbert clean every week. He started to develop a little bit of chemistry with Johnson and some of the wideouts that they have there. So that's not like a bottom, one unit anymore. And I think the Chargers offense has upside here, and the Bengals really just have Burrow and Chase. And I don't know, Burrow's starting to, there's some cracks in the armor there. And the fact that their backs were against the wall against the Ravens, and, they basically left every good play on the field and still couldn't get it done. I don't know how you bounce back necessarily and have a tough, a well-coached professional team, physical, on the road. This is a bad spot, I think, for Cincinnati. And I think the Chargers can win this one by margin. So lay the Chargers. I took the points with the Seahawks. I obviously respect the Niners. I like that they're kind of getting healthy at the right time of the year. But I was closer to 4.5 than I was 6.5 here. So I think Seattle is a good bet coming off the bye. I have been staring at the number for the Steelers as I am hoping for a 3.5 there, but I haven't played it yet. I have been staring at the number for the Bears. I just don't know if I have the intestinal fortitude to back what's going on in Chicago right now.
Yeah.
I think laying the points with the Rams makes sense. That's going to stink after how poorly they performed on Monday Night Football. And then I'm going to end up probably laying it with the Eagles. I think it's better to lay a cheap 3.5 than it is right now to pay an expensive 3. Because I think if anything, the commies, their inexperience on a short week in preparation and also sorry to tell you this in particular because I know you love the commies, but
there's let's rephrase that, by the way, but yes, go ahead.
There's whiffs of a lot of, like, we saw their best, we got Dan Quinn, who's never really been able to put away a successful start. We have a rookie who could be hitting the rookie wall. We have Cliff Kingsbury who gets solved every single year. The offensive line, every single guy is on the injury report now every week.
I think I've been pretty realistic about them, which is I've said all along, as excited as I am about them, this is kind of their level, right? Like, sure. they're they're, you know, maybe they'll get to the playoffs. Maybe they'd win a game. But that's it, right? Like, there's no, and even that would be a remarkably wonderful season for a team that won four games last year. Right.
You're absolutely right.
Went from the outhouse to the, what is it? From the outhouse to the White House, the penthouse. Thank you very much. I was about to say the White House, the penthouse in terms of their quarterback position, obviously the coaching staff change, ownership change. So you can't be upset with that. But I don't think that I would view it exactly how you are, but I get what you're saying, because I think they've always been here from the beginning.
Part of my coloring is also like, if you just defend that Mike Williams touchdown at the end of the Steelers game and you win, then all of a sudden now you're like still live for the two seed.
Or if you get the first down, right, with Zach Ertz.
First down, maybe you kick a field goal. More yard with Zach Ertz, you could potentially kick a field goal and win. It, like, live for the two seed feels much better than where you are now, which is holding on for dear life to the sixth seed.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think they get there. But, you know, it's the whole thing is so, you know, we're what, just over the halfway mark, I guess, of the NFL season. And just going through the games that you brought up, and it just occurs to me, right, like every one of these games, the massive implications of Cincinnati and the Chargers, which is the first game you talked about, it is the proverbial must win for the Bengals, right? They're a game out of the wild card position. They're a game behind the Broncos. That's a huge game for them, not as big of a game for the Chargers. The Chargers can afford to lose, obviously, unless the Chargers had sights on the division. Obviously, Philly, Washington, Seattle, same story in the NFC, where they are, you know, a game in the loss column behind both the Cardinals and the Niners. I mean, every one of these games, right? Pittsburgh, Baltimore, obviously jockeying for position. Literally, like everyone you touched on, the Rams have to keep contact, has massive implications. We are at that point in the season. So the thing with the NFC is that the fly in the ointment was, oh, the Cardinals are good. And that has kind of polluted it.
It has. And really, just in general, like a very, very good team is going to be on the outside looking in for the wild card spots. Whereas in the AFC, like, oof, somebody's got to get the seven seed. Somebody. It's probably going to be an 8-9 team, which is absolutely outrageous.
And we thought it was the opposite, right? Going into the last few seasons, not just this season, that the AFC was the one that was so deep. Not at all the case.
Yeah, the cream is risen to the top in terms of, we know that you know, Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar Jackson are gods. But everything else in that kind of lower tier there is wild. 4-6 Colts, 4-6 Bengals, still very much alive for a seven seed. You could have a rookie Bo Nix on the road as a 13-point dog in Buffalo or something in the 2-7. Like, that would be quite a number.
Where do you stand on, first of all, Buffalo, Kansas City this weekend, where Buffalo's a tick of a favorite here? But also just in general at the top of football, KC obviously is undefeated, still inventing every possible way to win football games that you can drum up. Buffalo, by the way, 2.5-point favorite in this. I shouldn't say a tick of a favorite. But in terms of the fact that if you power ranked them now, 1, 2, 3, what's your 1, 2, 3?
My 1 is Baltimore. My 2 is Buffalo. My 3 is San Francisco. My 4 is Detroit. My 5 is Kansas City. So the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs, I would rate as the 5th best team right now.
Whoa, I'm glad I asked. Wow.
There's a lot of warning signs going on with these guys. And I will admit that I will probably, as I make a number for the margins between these teams are very fine. As I make a number for Sunday's matchup against the Bills, it says Kansas City or pass here. You know, in general, this is maybe a decent buy low-ish if you're ever going to get one on the Chiefs because of how unimpressive they were against the Broncos. I was heavy in the Broncos in that game in general, and I liked the spot a lot for Denver compared to Kansas City, whereas this now actually is a pretty good spot for Kansas City to bring out some of the good plays. So it wouldn't shock me if Kansas City wins, but right now I would have them behind Buffalo in terms of a neutral power rating. The margin is like half a point.
I think my wow was mostly for Detroit being 4th. That was probably my biggest.
I mean, Detroit's offense is the best in football.
Okay.
I don't think that's really controversial.
Yeah. And here's the thing about, well, now that part isn't. I think, you know, again, it all's going to come down to 60 minutes in January. And so that's the thing. And Patrick Mahomes exists. And so we'll see. Drew, thank you as always, man. Appreciate it.
Best luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick, everybody. We'll come back with some Super Bowl exactas next.
I'm
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade. The app's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service, Sport Trade. Perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, we got tweets at Beating the Book. We get tweets. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Dom Corleone 28, Kyle D. He says, hard not to take an early victory lap on the Bears season under 8.5 and 9.5. Thank you, Hard Knocks, he says. Friends and fans in sheer panic and finger pointing, who to blame, because it cannot be all Caleb's fault despite his inaccuracy. This was to be the best spot for a rookie quarterback to land with all the weapons. Fields was one of the most sacked quarterbacks last year, yet minimal O-line changes were made during the offseason and magic was expected. It has been delicious, he says, delicious to watch unravel and assuring that maybe I'm growing as a sports bettor. How about that from Kyle D?
Wow. That's a hammer.
Yeah, that's a victory lap before the victory is even secured.
Yeah, I got my bets in, Kyle. I'm not scooping that cash yet. I will go back to what I said yesterday about the Bears. This is kind of exactly who I thought they'd be. I don't think it means they can't get a little bit better here towards the end.
Kyle D, everything you're saying is true, but if you are to improve as a sports bettor, don't call it before it happens, even though you're looking good. Ryan Hyatt, I've been busy lately. Remind me again what year these MLB awards are for? Thanks. My thoughts exactly, Ryan. Ryan Thompson, McVay is such a bad in-game coach. Should have gone for the touchdown on 4th and goal from the 4 with 6 minutes left. Then, as you said, Gil, kicking on 3rd there at the end made no sense.
Yeah.
Jesse Welch, the ever elusive Merrill Hodge, he's not special clip made an appearance on the Lombardi line by accident today. It did.
Shout out Darnell. He loved that so much.
He is not special. He is not special. There's nothing special about him.
We will run that 100 times. Vegas regular. You have Tua coming off a concussion and is tackling with his head, as you said, and Tyreek with a tear in his wrist is doing touchdown celebrations, throwing himself on the ground. A bunch of Mensa members, I tell you. D-Gen, Southern Gent. Gil, every time you say, here, take the newspaper, I laugh to myself and feel really guilty about it, LOL. And not saying Tua is doing it on purpose, but I did wonder if Tua said to himself, generational wealth insurance policy, as he braced for impact. I don't know if he said that to himself, but that's interesting. It's an interesting take on it anyway. Spence, I wish MLB would announce the damn award so my Spencer Strider Cy Young ticket will be graded. You and me both, Spence. When is that happening? When do our CJ Stroud number one and Spencer Strider Cy Youngs happen?
Yeah, when's that NFL draft taking place? Come on. We all know the better quarterback is.
This is from NCI 95 Gambler. What if NL Rookie of the Year is a tie? Is that a possibility? How likely is it? You know, it's baseball writers we're wagering on. I mean, it's a possibility.
I mean, ties are already lame. Can you imagine? That'd be the lamest thing ever.
It's Paul Skeen's mom and Jackson Merrill's mom together.
Like that.
And Jackson Churio's mom is like, why did I get invited?
That would be ridiculous.
Yeah. Torch D, last night I did some live betting on the football game, bet 365, had Dolphins -350 while every other book was around -500. So I put 800 on it. Ooh. Woke up this morning to an email stating wagering restrictions will be applied to all my bets going forward. This is now the 4th major sports book that has done this to me. This feels criminal.
Wow.
Don't get me started. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, question. What if Burrow finishes? I love these hypotheticals. What if Burrow finishes with 50 touchdown passes, 5,000 yards, and Cincinnati squeaks into the playoffs? Is that enough of an outlier season to steal the MVP that's obviously trending towards Lamar and Allen?
God, love this question.
Well, you've stated it correctly. It is trending towards Lamar and Allen, Lamar specifically. Lamar, 24 touchdowns, 2 picks. By the way, do you know Brock Purdy's numbers on the road in his last 9 road games?
Really good.
23 touchdowns, 2 picks. That's one of the weird home road splits ever. Anyway, back to your question. Sorry. That's right. Lamar Jackson this year, 24 touchdowns, 2 picks. But if Burrow gets 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and the Bengals make the playoffs, obviously it will mean he will get consideration. But you know what it probably means? That he's just going to get comeback player of the year. That's my hunch. that he still won't get MVP. Although I hear what you're saying. If you put up those numbers, you're in the conversation. But they'll probably steer another award towards him. Or he'll get the Offensive Player of the Year award.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, this is... Well, I think you hit it. I think it's comeback and the rest go by the wayside, yeah. Probably. It's an interesting question because I don't think he's completely out of the picture yet, but only because he has those numbers, right? Like, the numbers are so ridiculous with Burrow that he still has to be in the conversation a little bit. But, man, it's outside looking in for sure. What Lamar Jackson's done, and then Josh Allen, I think, is the clear number two right now. What they've done and what I think they'll continue to do is probably going to be so hard to upset.
And it's part of your question, but they're 4-6, for God's sakes. They better start winning football games starting this week against the Chargers.
I would love to see it happen, though. Like, I would love to see that, like, him put up ridiculous stats and be in the conversation.
Numbers? Yeah. Absolutely. Brian Morianen, by the way, says, or as he told me, it's Morianen, I believe is how you pronounce it. Now I'm really messing it up. He says, for the Bears, under win total better. It's the old saying, it's not under till it's over.
That's right.
Listener on listener advice right there.
There we go.
I misspoke, by the way. I said earlier, I said that we were going to talk about exactness. What I meant to say was we're going to talk about Super Bowl matchups. Correct. Because I brought this up yesterday. I'm like, to me, the Lions-Ravens matchups, the Lions-Ravens matchup looks great to me. And by the way, somebody, you know, immediately was like, oh my God, you're going to do this again with Mahomes. You're right. See, this is the thing when we have these power rankings / Super Bowl matchups conversations, unlike baseball, unlike basketball, these are not, or unlike hockey, these are not settled in a best of seven where, you know, the better team, quote unquote, has a chance to manifest over multiple games. This is a one-off in the playoffs, right? It's 60 minutes of football and anything can happen. So if Patrick Mahomes does come in with his cape and beats all these teams again, no one's going to be surprised. But I'm just going to take the approach that I'm willing to take that hit again, and that Mahomes has all these teams' numbers, specifically the Ravens' number, until he doesn't. Here are your short shot Super Bowl matchups, courtesy of Advocate Skirmish over there at FanDuel. Chiefs-Lions, +750. There's my Ravens-Lions at 11-1, and then Bills-Lions at 14-1. So the Lions clearly are the anchor for all those. Chiefs-Eagles becomes the next short shot at 15-1. I'm not sure I expected that. Chiefs-Niners, 17-1. Ravens-Eagles, 21-1 in the Battle of the Birds, and then you see everybody else, 25-1 and longer. Is there anything on the board that we have that interests you, or is there something off the board that would interest you?
I was going back and forth about this. I said yesterday, I think I'll stand by what I said yesterday, it would be Ravens-Lions and Bills-Lions to me. So those, I mean, look, you could bet both if you wanted it. Those prices, 11-1, 14-1. I think biggest thing I took away from looking around it for these numbers this last night and this morning, shop around. There are massive differences book to book on some of these teams. Like that 11-1 Ravens-Lions over at FanDuel, that was by far the best I saw on that. I think they were the short shot at one book that I looked at.
Ravens-Lions?
Yeah. So that's my biggest takeaway, was it was shop around for these. But, man, I don't know. Now when we put it like this, Gil, like I got a real hard time seeing one of those top three AFC teams not making it, and I'll even go to the NFC.
So this is the opposite of baseball, right?
Right.
This is the whole time we were doing the baseball ones, and I had a bunch of them. Remember, in the end, I had a bunch of World Series matchups, and at the end of every discussion, I said this is the most wide open baseball season ever that I can remember at this time of year. So I think it's incumbent that you bet some of these. And at the end, I would say, and watch, it'll be the Yankees-Dodgers of all years. It'll be Yankees-Dodgers. And it ended up being Yankees-Dodgers. The NFL is the opposite of that, where, again, it's 60 minutes to decide this. So could there be an upset here and there? Sure. Could Patrick, and the problem, that's why the Chiefs, no matter how vulnerable they look, that's all they got to do, right? Patrick Mahomes just has to do his thing in the postseason. And again, I'll say it again. Remember last year, that Christmas Day game against the Raiders? The Chiefs never looked worse. And if you had told folks watching that game at that point, hey, don't worry, they're still going to win the Super Bowl, you'd have just laughed. We forget how we felt about them then. They're not nearly in that position now, right? They're a 9-0 team. Sure, they squeak by in some of these games. So could they absolutely get there? Yes. That doesn't mean that if you're betting something else, you're just horribly wrong about something. Because I do think the best teams are the Ravens and the Lions. I really do.
Yeah, and I mean, me too, but then it's, you know, Bills, Chiefs,
Is there a flyer there you would take?
I was just thinking, I was going to ask you, what's the longest shot one you'd take?
Niners at the bottom, I would take.
Okay. I was going to go with, I was going to look up what the Texans Niners was. Texans, I wouldn't, they're the only other AFC team I think could crack that top, you know, into that top three. And Niners, like Drew said, I mean, no matter what they end the regular season, like if they get in the playoffs, don't count them out.
That's the thing. I think if there's one takeaway besides the obvious ones at the top, that the Niners probably being an anchor of your longer shots is probably, I understand the justification for that. Too. Everybody's back. All of a sudden they become the Niners again, that kind of thing. So Bills, Niners, 32-1, not so bad. Will Hill on the other side. It's a numbers game.